Okay, we're beginning here about the two dots on Sadi Zayin and Aleph. The Mishnah says, Arba Snipim Shazava Yusham. There were these four uprights that we've discussed over the last two daf that were part and parcel of the Shulchan, Machloket, whether they stood on the ground or they stood on the Shulchan itself, depending on what you thought the shape of the Lechem HaPanim were. But these uprights were both to give structural support to the Lechem HaPanim, as well as to hold up the kanim that rested on the snipim as well. So it was a part of the shulchan that helped to allow for the stacking of the lechem apanim on top of the shulchan. Minahani milei, how do we know that there were these snipim there? Amar Rav Katina, Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Vasita ke'arotav, ve'chapotav, ukusotav, umnikiotav. Now it gives you the list of the kelim that are part of the shulchan. We're going to define what each of these kelim are. Ke'arotav, elu dufusim. Ke'arotav are the forms in which they created the lechem apanim. Rashi over here says the dufusim that we're speaking about are the ones shenerach, v'nilosh, v'nefeh, ben, kedama v'resh pirkin, which means that these are not the forms that actually went on the shulchan itself. These are the preparatory forms that were used to make the lechem apanim. As we saw in the Mishnah, there were two, in the Braita there were three. One for the kneading part, one for the baking part, and one for afterwards to hold them until they got to the shulchan. But you could easily have seen them also being the pusim that were placed on the shulchan itself. Kaputav, these ladles or spoons, elu bazikim, those are the utensils that held the livona that either went on the shulchan or went on the lechem apanim, as we already saw the machloket in the Mishnah. Kisotav, elu snipim. Sotav are the snipim, and minakiotav are elu akanim. Those are the rods that went across, the half pipes that they used to hold up the lechem apanim. Rashi over here says with regards to the ksotav being the snipim, he gives two reasons as to why that's the case. He says either miribuye dekra, he says it's because of the extraneous language in the pasuk, which is basically a process of elimination. We know that there were snipim on the shulchan, and we need to figure out which of the words in the pasuk indicate that. Well, we figured out what all the other words mean, so the only one left over is ksotav. So by process of elimination, that's how we know there's snipim. But that's harder, because then the Gemara seems to be looking for a source for the snipim, although it's possible that they knew what the shulchan looked like, and they knew the snipim were there, and they're just trying to find the source. Rashi brings a second interpretation, which is shemekasheh halechem umechazko shelo yishaver. That the word kisotav comes from the word kasheh, and that's an indication of the strength and the structural support that it gave to the lechem apanim, and that's why they're known as the kisotav, because they actually were supportive of the lechem apanim. So in that way, he thinks it is a more fundamental reason as to why we're saying that these are the snipim over here. What's interesting about the Gemara here, which never addresses, Tosafot in shorthand mentions it over here, and then on yesterday's daf, he spoke about it more extensively. He says over here, Ksotav elu snipim, the Rabbi Yossi kasha ma yidrosh. According to Rabbi Yossi, I really don't know what they do with this, because Rabbi Yossi says, lo yusham snipim. There were no snipim there, that's what we learned yesterday, but rather the misgarto shel shulchan, the molding or the crown that went around the table, was above the level of the surface of the table, and that provided the structural support, at least for the bottom lechem apanim, and therefore they didn't need snipim. But then, what does he do with the word ksotav? We don't have any alternative that the Gemara gives as to what he thinks was the ksotav, and yesterday Balei Tosfot mentioned that Rashi and Chumash says that nechluku bahen chachmei Yisrael, Chazal argue about what is ksotav and what are menakiotav, and the Balei Tosfot would say, we don't have any of that in our Shas. Our Gemara doesn't have any machloket over here as to which is which. Here we have the Braita that tells us that the Minakiotav are the Kanim and the Ksotav are the Snipim. We don't have the reverse, which Rashi says that exists, where Chazal argue on this. But more importantly, he just says, I don't know what Rabbi Yossi does. Because even if you flip them around, you're just creating the problem with another word. It doesn't really help you because he's missing one of the kelim and needs something else to be there in terms of the shulchan. The Baal HaTos will leave it as a tzarachiyun, but the Gemara never really addresses what Rabbi Yossi does. The only thing you could argue is that if you think that the ke'arotav are the dufusim for the preparation of the lechem apanim, maybe the Sotav are the actual forms that were placed on the Shulchan itself, according to Rabbi Yossi. Even though according to Rabbi Yossi, it's a little more questionable actually as to whether there were these forms that went on his back, because he doesn't have the snipim on the Shulchan, and so it's hard to know what he thinks would be the additional kli that is there. Asita ki arotav v'chapotav uksotav u'menakiyotav asher yusach bahen zahav tohor taseotam asher yusach bahen shemisachachim behem et alechem, because they help to create that the lechem on top is misachachim akanim ben chalal lecharetah. They create some sort of roofing. Really, it's spacing between the chalot. That's the purpose of the kanim. Number one is to provide airflow between the lechamim, as well as to provide, again, structural support because of the weight, to bear some of the weight to the lechem apanim so they don't sit on top of each other. Again, as I'll note a number of times, that it's not clear, based on what the Gemara said earlier in the Perek, that there were these extensions that came out of the snipim themselves that had the form of the lechem apanim. They seem to also be weight-bearing and to have some sort of structural support. How they interact with the kanim is not clear at all. I think the simplest way is to suggest that those forms sit on the kanim themselves. Although the way the Gemara describes it in the Mishnah, and over here we're going to see in a second, sounds like the kanim are just sitting in between the lechamim directly, and that there really is no other form that's sitting there. So whether those forms come from the side, and the kanim are providing the support on the bottom, again, it's not clear how all of these structures interact in order to have the shulchan function and hold up the lechem apanim. Motiv Rava, lo sidur kanim velo nitilatan dochot et haShabbat. So when it comes to the kanim, as we know from the Mishnah, they're not doches Shabbat, not putting them in, not taking them out. V'sakadatcha de'oraita, if you think that the kanim are listed in the pasuk in Parshat Truma with regards to the shulchan, then why aren't they dochet haShabbat? They're fundamentally a part of the shulchan, and the Torah prescribes them as part of the shulchan. So why aren't they dochet haShabbat? Why ain't dochot et haShabbat? Why are they not dochet haShabbat? Hadar amar Rava lav miltei da'amri. That which I'm saying is incorrect. Ditanan, because we have the Mishnah. Kolam amar Rabbi Akiva. Kol melacha she'efshar la'asota mi'erev Shabbat ena dochet haShabbat. Anything that you can do from beforehand is not dochet haShabbat. V'hani nami efshar lo'dochi Shabbat alayu. So do over here, you don't need to do this, or you don't need the dochet haShabbat in order to take care of this. Time am I. What is the purpose of the kanim? The loli apish lechem, so that the lechem doesn't go moldy, doesn't go bad, doesn't get ruined. B'chihai shi'ura lo mi'apish. Over that small duration, they're not going to go bad. So that means that for short durations, we don't need the airflow there. For those little points in time, you can be without the kanim. So again here, it makes it sound like the kanim are all there for airflow, not for structural support. Number two is, generally when you have the lechem that's hot, that's when you worry about the mi'apish, which would be when you're putting it on. Even though we know that the miracle was that it stayed warm or hot through the whole time, but that's the time that you would think was most essential to have the airflow there, and yet it wasn't there, because we took them off on Friday, then removed them from the Shulchan a half day later on Shabbat. They put the new ones on Shabbat, and then only inserted the rods, either according to Rashi on Motzei Shabbat, according to the Rambam on Sunday morning, but they only put them in a half day later. So it's interesting, again, that what would look like to be the most essential time, they didn't have the kanim there, as well as the fact that they don't speak about the structural necessity for the kanim to hold the weight of the lechem ha'apanim. Kedetanya, keitzad, how does it work? Nichnas me'erev Shabbat v'shomtan. He goes in on erev Shabbat, pulls them out. U'minichan l'orko shel shulchan, and he lays them along the lengthwise of the shulchan. Again, there's no space on the shulchan, so it's unlikely that he's laying them on the shulchan itself. More likely that he's laying them underneath the shulchan, along the long ways of the shulchan. Over Motzei Shabbat, nichnas, and on Motzei Shabbat he goes in, magbia roshe shel chala, umachnis kane tachta. He lifts up the rosh. Roshe would mean both ends of the chala. Rashi's girsa over here is rosha and not rosheha. But either way, you're elevating the chala that's above it and placing the kanim in there. Again, this seems to indicate that there is a certain amount of weight-bearing load that the kanim are holding, because you have to raise the lechem that's above it, but also seems to indicate that they're directly in contact with the lechem itself. You're raising the lechem above it, not the form that the lechem is in. You're raising the lechem itself to insert the kanim there. The one below we know it's sitting on because they put grooves in it for the kanim to sit in. But the one above here is indicating that you have to lift it in order to get these kanim in. So they keep lifting up each one of the kalot. They lift up and then they put the kanim in until you've inserted all the kanim. So that's a more explicit description of what is described in the Mishnah. As we noted in the Mishnah, Rashi says that the problem as to why you would think there's a problem on Shabbat with the kanim at all, what is the issue that we're saying that it's eino docheh Shabbat? What exactly are you doing wrong that is considered to be problematic on Shabbat? So Rashi writes over here, it's a very interesting Rashi, Aval gav dein shvut v'migdash, despite the fact that there is no shvut in the Migdash, hai tiltul lav mishum shvutu. The problem of tiltul over here is not because of shvut, el de mechse kibone v'soter. It looks like binyan et stira. Generally, we have a principle that in binyan v'stira v'keilim, so that building and destroying or dismantling is only applicable to structures. It's not applicable to kelim. Nevertheless, there is a rabbinic injunction against doing binyan v'stira v'keilim because it's mechse kibinyan v'stira. Rashi makes an interesting note. He says, ein shvut v'migdash, and therefore it's not applicable here because this is not a shvut v'migdash. A shvut v'migdash is where you have a tiltul. That's an issue of muksa or an issue of shvut. But what Rashi then does is says, okay, it's not shvut, it's mechse kibinyan v'stira. If you gave me an option as to what would not be applicable in the Mikdash, then if you tell me that a real shvut, a real Issa d'Rabbanan doesn't apply, then I would certainly say that mechse kibinyan v'stira would also not apply in the Mikdash. I don't know what Rashi's marviach by saying that. He's actually taken the statement of the Gemara of ein shvut v'mikdash so literally that it means only when there's a shvut. A shvot, which means the Rabbanon instituted something that we should desist from on Shabbat, that's when there's no issue in the Mikdash. But something that's because of Maratayin or Mechse, or it seems like Binyan V'stira, that would still be in force in the Mikdash. It's a very strange explanation and difficult, and the Balei Tosafot say as much. They quote Rashi, and then they say, Kach Perish HaKunchus, V'lo Mashma Kein. So it doesn't sound like that at all. Mashma, Deleka ela isur ba'alma. Says, no, there is an isur here. It's not a mechse issue. It's not some other gzera. But, va'ashka nami shvot da'asru b'migdash. We find certain shvot that are asur in the Migdash. And so, Balei Tosafot basically say that it's an issue of muksa. And we actually, Tosafot doesn't cite it over here, but in the end of the Gemara in Shabbat, when it speaks about raising animals out of Amat Amayim, when they fell into an irrigation ditch, and take them out on Shabbat, the question, because of Tzar Balei Chaim, what are you allowed to do? There, the Gemara says that certain things were not allowed to be done. Despite the fact that they were only muksa, or they were only problems dirabanan, nevertheless, certain muksot, or certain shvutim dirabanan, are more severe, or the Chachamim viewed in that light, and they didn't waive them. So even though we waive certain dinei muksa in order to allow for either Tzar Balei Chaim or in the Mikdash, we waive certain issues of Shvot, the Balei Tosafot there and in Erevin and a number of other places note that that's not consistent that we say any Shvot does not exist in the Mikdash. There's some that do, there's some that don't. You have to check in. There's no given that it's automatic in Shvot but Mikdash. It's a general principle that has a lot of exceptions to it. Or the way that Gemara describes over there, there's a different hierarchy in terms of certain mitzvot d'Rabbanan. Certain mitzvot d'Rabbanan are not allowed to be violated even in the Mikdash. Others, we waive inside of the Mikdash. And so what the Balei Tosafot say in the end is, yes, ein shvut b'Mikdash, but that's not a given. And therefore, this is an exception to that issue of shvut b'Mikdash. And here they did uphold the shvut b'Mikdash, and that's why it's problematic. Said this on the Mishnah, I noted that even though if you know you're going to use them on Shabbat and you need them on Shabbat, there's no Isser Tiltul, there's no Isser Muksa for the Tosafot. What you have to say is that these are either one of two things. Over here, it's not classified as a Kli, and therefore it remains Muksa even though it's necessary for usage with regards to the Lechem HaPanim. Or these Kanim are Chisaron Kis, which means that they're only used for a particular purpose and no other purpose, and therefore even if you know you're going to use them, you're not allowed to move them because they're muksa machad chisaron kis. Or the kanim have a particular purpose and location, which means that they're always on the shulchan, with the exception for when, on before and after Shabbat, they take them off. Had it not been for the need to take them off before and after Shabbat, then moving the kanim are almost a fixed or a part and parcel of the shulchan, and we would consider them muksa, not because you prepared or didn't prepare them, but because of their location and their purpose, so that's left in that position all the time. So here too, this is something that is always in this position, and therefore becomes muksa because you don't move it, and you don't generally move it. And if you intend to move it, it's still muksa because, and it's something that's part of the structure. And therefore it's muksa even if you think about moving it. Although, maybe you could explain in Rashi that the difference here is, how does the din derabbanan come about? Is this a din derabbanan that's anchored in a din d'oraita, and just an expansion and extension of the din d'oraita? Or is this a new din derabbanan that might be protective in nature, but it's not an extension of a d'oraita? And in that way, maybe you could explain what Rashi is saying over here, that with regards to shvut b'mikdash, that's when it's a din derabbanan that's not anchored in something d'oraita. On the other hand, mefsek binyan and stira, which is a problem, de'oraita, binyan and stira, and something that's an extension of binyan and stira, that's de'oraita, that is meaningful and problematic in the mikdash. And that's what Rashi is trying to say over here. There is one view who suggests that there is an isur de'oraita over here, which is that the kanim are a problem of tikkun kli, whether that means that it's actually fixing a kli or maybe along the lines of makav v'patish. He thinks that's a real issue, midoraita, and therefore it's a serious issue that's not going to be waived, and that's why you have to take care of it on Erev Shabbat and Motzei Shabbat, because it's something that can be done before Shabbat and after Shabbat, and there's an issue doraita that you're facing, and in that case, you have to deal with it, not to violate it on Shabbat. Had it been there was no other way to do it, we know that the lechem apanim are dochet Shabbat, and so therefore you would be dochet Shabbat, but in this instance where it can be done otherwise, it would not be dochet Shabbat. Arba chalot, tzrichot, shlosha kanim. So now the Gemara is going through the list of the kanim that in our Mishnah, which said there are 14 for each marechet, 28 in total. So now it's enumerating those, saying that the arba chalot, tzrichot, shlosha kanim. The way Rashi describes it is the middle four spaces need three kanim each. Hal yuna, the upper one, only requires two kanim. Masui. It has no burden. It doesn't carry anything on top of it besides itself. The lowest lechem apanim doesn't need anything. It is on the empty space, the open face of the shulchan. So the bottom one has nothing underneath it. Then for the spacing between the next, 1, 2, 3, 4, these, all those spaces have three in them. And then the last one between the fifth and the sixth kala has two kanim there because it supports only the lechem panim above it. It doesn't have multiple lechemim that go above it. So for that reason, you have now 3 times 4, which is 12, plus the two on the top one is 14. And that gives you the 28 that you need for the shulchan. That's the way that Rashi describes it. The Rabbeinu Gershom, on the other hand, says, Ha'elyona shashishit munechet aleha enetzricha ela bet kanim. So you hear what he says. He says the Elyona is not the sixth one, but the fifth one. It says the fifth one that only has number six on top of it only needs two kanim. So it's not clear to me where he puts the other additional three, which is he says they're starting from the second one and putting three in each of them. But then he says that number five only requires two rods, because only number six is above it, only has one chala above it, not more. So then he's missing one set of three kanim somewhere. And maybe it's just a girsa issue inside of the Rabbeinu Gershom, and he really means what Rashi said over here. It's not autumn. So now we move on to the next part of this, which is in the Mishnah. We had a machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda as to what the size of the shulchan was. We know the size of the shulchan from Parshat Truma, which is that it's 2 amot by 1 ama. So that's the size of the shulchan. Why is there any question as to the size of the shulchan? That's because an ama comes in different forms. There are 3 different size amot. There's an ama that is comprised of 5 tfachim, is an amah that is comprised of six tefachim, which is called the amah benonit, the middle amah, and is an amah comprised of seven tefachim. So when you speak about a standard amah, you're speaking about the amah that contains within it six tefachim. Now going back to the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said that the size of the shulchan was 5 by 10, which means that he's saying that the amot that are being used for the measurement of the shulchan are 5 tefachim each. Therefore, a shulchan by 2 amot, by 1 amah, is going to give you 10 by 5. That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, said that the size of the shulchan was 12 by 6, and that's because he believes that the amah being used is a 6 tefach amah. So therefore, 2 amot is 12 tefachim, and 1 amah is 6 tefachim. That's a given in the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara is going to bring a Mishnah, and then Braita, that explains the position of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. How do they know which size amah to use? And then, how does that play out in different aspects of the Mikdash, including the size of the Mizbeach, as well as the Shulchan, which we already noted what the difference would be. So it's not Hotam, we have the Mishnah in Kelim, Rabbi Meir Omer. Kol amot shayuv b'mikdash benoniyot. All the amot in Mikdash are the middle size ones, which are the 6 tefachim size amot. Chutz mimizbeach azahav, vehakeren, vasovev, vayisod. So here are all the exceptions to the rules. One of them is the mizbeach azahav, the mizbeach haketoret. That was done with a 5 tefach amah. And then on the mizbeach hachitzon, the mizbeach haola, there were 3 parts of it that had an exception to it. And that's the keren, the top little protrusions on the 4 corners. The Sovev, which is the walking area around in the middle, and then the Yesod, which is the base of the Mizbeach. All of those were done with 5 tefachim. The Gemara in a second will try to figure out what exactly that means and how that works out. But those 3 areas only require 5 tefachim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amat Binyan Shisha Tefachim, Veshel Kelim Chamisha. Rabbi Yehuda has a very simple distinction. He says anything that has to do with structural parts of the Mikdash, those were 6 tefachim amot. Anything that's a utensil is a 5 tefach amah. So the only area where they agree with regards to the kelim is the mizbeach hazahav. Both of them say that the mizbeach hazahav is 5 tefachim. Despite that, the Rambam paskins that the mizbeach hazahav is made out of amot and never mentions the fact that it's a 5 tefach amah. It's the Kesef Mishnah that questions, how could he do that? That's the only area where Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda both agree to that. I think the Karen Arab points out that there is a Tosefta that brings a dissenting opinion, and that Mizbeach Zahav is also 6 tefachim, and likely that the Rambam Paskin took that view. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushneem Mikra Echad Darshu. The source for this is the Pasuk in Yechezkel, which is, Ve'ele Midot HaMizbeach Be'amot. These are the measurements of the Mizbeach in Amot. Ama V'Tofach. So what you learn from this is, the amah being used here needs, for a normal amah, to have an amah, v'tofach, and a tefach. Which means that the amah being used in this pasuk is a 5 tefach amah, because in order to be the normal size of an amah, this amah would have to have a tofach, a tefach, added onto it. So that means whatever's in this pasuk is 5 tefachim. It's mentioned there, v'cheika amah, v'amah rochav, u'gvula el tzvata saviv, zeret ha'echad. This is the top of the Mizbeach. So now here you have a list of items, which we're going to have to figure out what they are, but those items all require what we know as a 5 tefach amah. The Gemara explains now, Cheka amah, ze yisod. The Cheka amah is a reference to the yisod, and the lashon of chek or chok means something that is fixed in place, is sound, and that's something like the foundation or the yisod hamizbeach. Ama rochav, the ama that goes around or is expanded, zisovev, that's a reference to the walkway that's around 6 amot high on the mizbeach that goes around the mizbeach. Ugvula el tzvata saviv, zeret ha'echad, elu karnot, that refers to the keren. And as Rashi and Tosfot point out, a zeret is a chatzi ama, and therefore the meaning of Gvula el tzvata saviv zeret ha'echad means from the center of the keren, in each direction it is a zeret, a half amah, which means that the keren itself is a totality of an amah cubed, because in every direction it is a zeret, which is a half amah. Ze gava mizbeach, ze mizbeach hazahav. That's a reference to the mizbeach hazahav. So here you have Rabbi Meir's opinion. Those things that require 5 tefachim are all listed in this pasuk in Yechezkel. That is the yisod, the Soveiv, the Karen, and the Mizbeach Hazav. All of those require an Amah of 5 Tfachim. Rabbi Meir Savar, Zehu Bamat Bat Chamisha, HaKol Amot Kelim Bamat Bat Shesh. He says that the Amah that is being described in this Pasuk is from the word Ve'elo Midot HaMizbeach. These are the Midot HaMizbeach. And then it means V'zeh Gav HaMizbeach. And this is the Gav HaMizbeach. So you have exclusive terms. These and Zeh. And he says that's exactly what it means. It means Zeh. Only this Keli, which is the Mizbeach HaZav, has that requirement. Nothing else. No other Keli in the Mikdash has that requirement. And that's why Rabbi Meir is of the opinion. Everything is an Amah Bat Shisha, with the exception of what's listed here in the Pasuk. Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Kazeyu Kolamot Kelim. The Zeh is not an exclusive term, but rather a paradigmatic term. The word Zeh is extraneous, but Zeh points to, this is the measurements you use for Mizbeach HaZav, which is a paradigmatic Keli, any Keli that you're going to bump into. That's what the last word means over there. It spoke about something that was structural, was the Mizbeach HaOlah, which is something that's a built binyan and structure. And then you have the Mizbeach HaZav. So what it says is, in the built structure, these are the only areas that require 5 Tfachim. Mizeh, Mizbeach HaZav, by Kelim, everything needs it. And like the Mizbeach HaZav, all other Kelim come in 5 Tfachim. And that accounts for the difference in their opinion. So now the Gemara says, Kasalka Datko. Let's understand what is meant in the Pasuk. Both according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, who say that the terms that are being listed here are references to the Mizbeach Chitzon, the Mizbeach HaOlah. How exactly does that play out when you have 3 locations that are made out of 5 Tfachim? Misod Vad Soveiv Bama Bat Chamesh Begova. The first assumption of the Gemara is that when it says V'cheka Amah, that's a reference to the Yisod, and the Amah Rochav is a reference to the Soveiv, the Gemara now assumes that means that from the Yisod until the Soveiv is going to be measured with 5 Tfachim Amot. That means for the first 6 Amot of the Mizbeach, there's going to be 5 Tfachim. Those Amot are going to consist of 5 Tfachim. Umay Cheka Amah V'Amah Rochav HaCheka Amah. So the explanation of the pasuk would mean from here to there, which means from the Yisod, including the Yisod, all the way up to the Soveiv, which are the first 6 Amot of the Mizbeach. And again, the sheets that I sent out, you can see here that you have the first part of the Mizbeach. They're suggesting over here that this Amah of the Yisod, which the Yisod is Amah high, and the next 5 Amot, which lead you up to where the level of the Soveiv is, those 6 Amot are comprised of 5 Tfachim Amot. HaMizbeach Kamavi. What was the height of the Mizbeach? 10 Amot. We know that the total height of the Mizbeach is 10 Amot. Shit Bnei Chamisha, Chamisha. 6 Amot, which are the first 6 Amot, are going to be comprised of 5 Tfachim Amot. Ve'arba'ei Bnei Shita Shita. And then the upper 4 Amot will be comprised of 6 Tefach Amot. Mizbeach Kamavi. Then, how high is the Mizbeach? So that means that 6 times 5, 30 tfachim. 4 times 6, 24 tfachim. That means you have a total of 54 tfachim. So now, chamshin ba'arba, that means you have a total of 54 tfachim. Palgei de mizbeach kamehavi. So then, where is the middle point of the mizbeach? 54 divided in half is 27 tfachim. That's a 3 b'shiva. Mikarnot ba'ad soveiv kamehavi. So now, the point is that they're looking at the middle line of the Mizbeach. The reason the middle line of the Mizbeach is important is because that's where the Chut HaSikra goes. The Chut HaSikra is a red line indentation that goes around the Mizbeach to differentiate between the Damim that go to Mala and the Damim that go to Mata. And that's at the halfway point. We just described the Mizbeach as being 54 Tefach high. That means that the Chut HaSikra is going to have to be at the 27 Tefach line. The problem with that is that's not where we would have expected it to fall out. Because we're going to see in a second, we have a Mishnah that we've seen before that indicates that when you're standing on the Soveiv, the Kohen that is processing the Olat Ta'of, which needs its dam to go on the upper half of the Mizbeach, has an option to put it on the wall of the Mizbeach that he's facing, or he can reach below his feet an Amah and put it on the Mizbeach. That means that there's an Amah below his feet that is still on the upper half of the Mizbeach. The way we have it now, that's not going to work out. Again, you can see this pictured in the charts that I sent out, that if you look from the top of the Keren down to the Soveiv, That's going to be Esrim Va'arba. That's 24 Tvachim. That's 4 Amot times 6 Tvachim. That's 24 Tvachim. Come a Batzir Lepalgei the Mizbeach. How much is left then? If you have 24 Tvachim to the top of this Soveib, then the midpoint is 27. You have Tlata. 3 more Tvachim left. Vitznan. And we have a Mishnah. Chuta Shel Sikra Chogro Be'emtza. The Chuta Sikra goes through the center. The divide between the upper blood and the lower blood. Elaha Ditznan, that which we have in the Mishnah or Braita. Gabi Olata Ov. Haya Ola Bakevesh. By the Olata Ov, he goes up the ramp. Upana the Soveiv, and he turns onto the Soveiv. Uvalo the Kemin Dromit Mizrachit. He goes to the southeastern corner. Umalek et Rosha. And then he does the Malika on it. Mimul Arpa, in the location below the back of the head. Umavdil, and he takes the head off. Umotzad damal kir mizbeach, and then he squeezes the blood so that it sprays onto the wall of mizbeach. Vimasala mata miraglav afilu ama achat ksheira. Even if he does that on ama below his feet, he's standing on the soveiv, does an ama, it's ksheira. Vahakahiv yaoliono lamata mishnei tvachim. So wait a minute, if you're telling me that the chuta sikra is only at the 27 tefach point, that means that only 3 tvachim below the ama soveiv is it considered to be the upper half. You're telling me he has a full ama. Even if you believe the Amah is 5 Tvachim and not 6 Tvachim, you still have 2 Tvachim that are below the Chuta Sikra. And you're instructing him to do this. Then those lower 2 Tvachim, which is the Amah described here, is going to be on the lower half of the Mizbeach. And you're misleading the Kohen to say that he can do it for an Amah below his feet. So that doesn't work out. Ella, so we have to come up with another interpretation of what this means. Cheka Amah, Knisa. Amah Rochav, Knisa. Gvulash svata svaviv, Knisa. So now what the description they're saying over here is, it does not have to do with the height of the Mizbeach, but rather has to do with the width of the Mizbeach. So rather than describing the height, all are using a mot of 6 Tvachim. So that means that the total height of the Mizbeach is 60 Tvachim, because 10 times 6 is 60 Tvachim. The halfway point is going to be 30 Tvachim. And if you look from the top, you have between the karnot and the soveiv, you have 4 amot times 6 is 24 tvachim. That means that you have a remainder of 6 tvachim between the area of the soveiv and the chuta sikra, which is an amah. And so therefore there's no problem. We've taken care of that issue. That we're going to see 1 second in the Gemara. What we're now introducing is the possibility that when we're speaking about these 5 tvachim amot, we're not talking about height, we're rather talking about width, which is the amah hayisod goes up one amah, and then goes inward one amah. Same thing with the soveiv. The soveiv goes in one amah, because that's the area that the kohanim walk on. And the keren itself also has a height of an amah, as well as a depth of an amah. And so what the Gemara's explanation now is, each one of those terms was knisa, how much it goes in towards the mizbeach. As the mizbeach goes up, it is shrinking. If you remember from the Gemara in Zvachim, it describes the building of the mizbeach as being blocks. Then you make these cubes that sit on top of each other. The base is 32 by 32, with the exception of the area that there is no yisod. So it's 32 by 32 amot. The next block, which is 5 amot high and 30 by 30, sits on top of the first block or cube. That creates a perimeter around it of an amah, because this is 2 amot smaller than the other one, leaves an amah on each side. That's how you create the yisod. And then you take a block that's 3 amot high, that's 28 by 28, and stick it over the cube that's 30 by 30, and that creates the soveiv. So that's how you create these perimeters of the soveiv and the yisod. And then on top as well, you're going to create an area that will then be taken up by the karnot, and then create smaller and smaller areas till you get to the area of the maracha, which we're going to see in a second, which is 24 amot by 24 amot. But it's taking all these blocks, which is you start with 32 by 32, the area above that is 30 by 30. That creates the soveiv. The 28 by 28 creates the upper area. The karnot knock off another amah, which makes it then 26 by 26. And then there is what's called the makom raglei ha-kohanim, the place where the kohanim can walk around the mizbeach, which is with an amah inside of the karnot. And that amah then leaves you with 24 by 24 as being the maracha, or the center of the mizbeach, where you can put things on the mizbeach. That's all background that we know from the Gemara in Zvachim. That will help us now understand what the Gemara is about to do with the description that we're doing now. So now the Gemara goes on to explain what they just described over here, which is Mizbeach Kamahava. Like, how high is the Mizbeach now? Shitin, 60. Because you say now that all the amot of the height of the Mizbeach are 6 tefachim. Pagei the Mizbeach Kamahavin. What's the halfway point of the Mizbeach? Platin. That's 30 tefachim high. Mikarnot Vatsovev Kamahavin. From the karnot, the top of the karen to the sovev, which is 4 amot. How many tefachim is that? That's kafdalit. That's 24 tefachim. Kamer batzil the pagei the Mizbeach. How much is left over then to the midpoint of the Mizbeach? Shisha, 6 tefachim. Vitznan, and we have that Mishnah, imasala matamiraglava filo amachat, kshera, no problem. So that's exactly what we described here in the Mizbeach, that we solved the problem in terms of the height. Now you're suggesting it has to do with the inserts. The indentations, they are 5 tfachim amot. So bamayu kimta biknisa. You now explain this as the amount that it goes in. Umi matzit muklela biknisa. How can you do that? Vatznan. We have a Mishnah. Mizbeach haya shloshim ushtayim al shloshim ushtayim. The base, the yisod of Mizbeach is 32 by 32 amot. That's the footprint of the Mizbeach. Alama v'kanes amah. He went, it was up an amah, and it goes in an amah. Ze yisod. That is the yisod. Nimsa, that the next area is shloshim al shloshim. Now, is that really true? Is it shloshim al shloshim? Not if you only went in 5 tvachim. If you went in a full 6 tvachim, then you took up an amah. But if you only went in 5 tefachim, it turns out that you are shloshim ushnei tefachim havi. It's really 30 and 2 tefachim. Because if your normal amah is 6 tefach, and now you took an amah, instead of making it 6 tefach, you made it 5 tefach, that means that the insert only went in 5 tefachim, or 10 tefachim. But the block is 30 by 30, which is 180 tefachim that are supposed to be there. But it's really not 180 because you only went in 5 tefachim. So it's really 180 and 2 tefachim that are the extra tefach that you didn't put there. So the block that sits on top, instead of being 30 by 30 over here, because you only went in 5 tefachim instead of stick, this block should be 30 by 2 tefachim by 30 and 2 tefachim to fill in that space. So how come you're telling me it's 30 by 30? But 2. And then if you keep doing this, Allah chamesh v'kanasama, that you go up another 5 amot, and then go in an amah, ze sovev. That creates the sovev. Nimsa, esrim vishmona, al esrim vishmona. Again, that makes the next block that sits on top, 28 by 28. That's not true. Esrim vishmona, v'arba tfachim havi. It's not 28 by 28, it's 28 and 4 tfachim by 28 and 4 tfachim. You have to keep making up for the deficit of the tfachim that you are now inserting on the horizontal. Again, on the base, the yisod, you lost 2 tefach, 1 tefach on each side. Then you moved up to the sovev, you also lose another 2 tefachim, 1 tefach on each side. So now you have 4 additional tefachim, so the block that sits on top should not be 28 by 28, it should be 28 and 4 tefachim, and 28 and 4 tefachim. V'chikei makeim and dolohavi amah, lo chashiv lei. Rounding error. They only mention full amot. They don't mention the tefachim. The only problem is, makom karnot. What are you going to do about the keren? Get up to the karnot on the top. Ama mize, vama mize. The karnot are an ama cubed, which means they go up in ama, in an ama. Benimtza, esrim vishesh, al esrim vishesh. Then you left over with the block that's above that of 26 by 26. The area that is left after you put on the karnot that are inside the karen is an area that is 26 by 26 amot. So now, is that really true? Esrim v'shava habu. That's 27 by 27. At this point, you've gone in 3 times 5 tefachim. Once at the yisod, once at the sovev, once at the keren. You add a 2 tefachim for each level. That means you've now got 6 extra tefachim. By the time you get to the 26 by 26, you actually have an extra amah. It shouldn't be 26 by 26. It should be esrim v'shava habu. It should be 27. Now you tell me you're rounding error. We don't mention tefachim. Here's a whole amah. You can't round that off. Where it says, lo dak. They weren't so careful. You're right, it is 27 by 27. They just called it 26 by 26. Where it says, wait a minute. If you say that, makom hiluch raglei konim amah. The place where the konim walk around, which is inside the keren, they get an amah to walk around the maracha. Amah mizeh, amah mizeh, and amah on each side. Then it leaves you, nimsa, that the center of the mizbeach, the maracha, is esrim v'arba, el esrim v'arba, makom maracha. Makom HaRachah is 24 by 24. According to you, it's not 24 by 24. It's actually Esrim v'chamishavai, 25 by 25. We haven't gotten in anymore, so we didn't add any more, but we already went in three times and added an amah. So now that you have that amah, it's really 25 by 25. V'chitei mahachanami lo dak. Okay, yeah, you know what? They weren't so careful. Rounding errors, they don't worry about those extra tvachim that add up to an amah later on. That you can't say v'aktiv. The problem is, the posuk in Yechezkel says, v'ha'ariel shtemisrei orech v'shtemisrei rokav rabuah. So there it says that the Ariel, which is a reference to the Mizbeach, is 12 amot in length, 12 amot in width, Rabua, squared out. Yochol she'enu ela shtemisrei al shtemisrei. You would think that means that the Maracha, the top of the Mizbeach, is only 12 by 12 amot. Shomer el arbat riva'av, to its four corners or four directions, v'lameid she'be'emtzahu modei. This measurement of length and width is not the total length and total width. It's from the center point. Each direction is 12 amot. That gives you then, 12 in each direction. That means that the top is 24 by 24. Now you have a posuk. Rashi says, by a posuk, you can't say, lodak. The posuk wasn't so careful. It's an interesting statement of Rashi, because the Gemara in the end is going to say something along those lines, that the posuk isn't so careful. But at least Rashi says that if you have a posuk that gives you an exact measurement, you gotta believe that that is the measurement. It's not 25 by 25, and they just told you it's 24 by 24. It says it's 24 by 24. It is 24 by 24. So therefore, that can't be the explanation over here. V'chitema, I'll solve the problem. Easy way to solve this problem is to start from the base with V'chitema shitmi na'umi ikara v'ma bat chamisha maiti lo. It says, no problem. Instead of starting with a base of 32 by 32, now a base of 32 by 32 is 32 times 6. Which is 192 tefachim, which is what we would have expected the squared out area of the Mizbeach to be, which is 192 by 192. And that's how you build up the Mizbeach based on these amot that are 6 tefachim. So what the suggestion of the Gemara is now, is make the 32 and 32 comprised of 26 amot that are made up of 6 tefachim, and 6 amot that are made of 5 tefachim. So then that you will start with is a block that is not 192 by 192, but rather 186 by 186. 6 times 26 is 156, and then 6 times 5 is 30, that gets you to 186. But then you've taken care of the deficit up front. So that means that the base is 186. Now when you start moving up, you've already incorporated that deficit that you would have gotten into at the top in the base. You already shortchanged the 32 by 32, with taking out those 6 extra tefachim from the outset. And therefore, when you have those deficits along the way, what you end up coming back to is a top that's made out of 24 amot of 6 tefachim each, because you've eliminated the deficits by starting with 186 by 186 instead of starting by 192 and 192. So again, you can see, I laid it out in the pictures, how that works. The problem with that is, imkein rav kala azara. If that's the case, you made the azara bigger. I think you could explain this in one of two ways. Rashi explains it that the floor of the Azara is now going to be bigger. Or the other way I think you could explain it is that our measure of the Azara is too big. Because now you're missing something in the Azara. Which is that the Azara is described by the footprint of the items that are in the Azara. We have a Mishnah in Midot. It's not called Azara Haita Orech Me'er Shmoni V'Sheva. 187 long, that's east to west. Al Rochav. North to south, it is Me'er Shloshim V'Chamesh, 135. So north to south, it's 135. East to west, longwise, it's 187. How do I get to 187? The Mishnah lists out all the things that are there to get you to the 187 amot. And that is Mizrach L'Marav, starting on the eastern side, going to the western side. Me'er V'Shmoni V'Sheva, that is 187. Makom Shvisad Ragla Yisrael, the first section of the Azara, is the area where the Yisrael can go. That's 11 amot, that's 11 amot. Umakom Jisad Ragle HaKonim, the next 11 amot are the place where the Kohanim can go. That's Achadisrei Amot. So you're up to 22 amot. Ha Mizbeach. That already gets you up to the Mizbeach. Mizbeach takes up Shloshim Ushtayim. 32 amot. 22 plus 32, you're up to 54 amot. Bein Ulam the Mizbeach. From the entranceway to the Heichal at the Ulam to the Mizbeach is a Shrim Ushtayim Amot. It's 22 amot. You're up to 76 amot. Heichal me'amah. The Heichal itself is me'amah long. That gets you up to 176 amot. 11 amah, akorei beit hakaporet. behind the Heichal, to the wall of the Azara, there's another 11 Amot. That gets you to a total of 187 Amot. The problem is that you counted for the Mizbeach 32 Amot. But the Mizbeach is not really 32 Amot. The Mizbeach is only 31 Amot based on you. You took a deficit of 6 Tvachim, that means you eliminated an Amah. If you did that, then either the Makom Ragle HaKohanim is 12 and not 11, or the Makom between the Ulam and the Mizbeach is 23 and not 22. Or the way that I described it is that the total should not be 187, it just should be 186. Either way, you have a deficit of Amah, and that can't be explained if you do this. If you change the whole base of the Mizbeach, you're going to shortchange the Azara, or you have to add more floor space to the Azara, and that's not found in the Mishnah in Midot. And you can't say over here that the 32 Amot that are mentioned in the measurements of Midot are the 32 Amot, like we're saying over here, 32 Amot that are a mix of 26 of 6 Tvachim and 6 of 5 Tvachim. Because with regards to the Mizbeach, we know that there's differentiation between the Amot and Mizbeach. To say something like that by the Mizbeach makes sense. By the floor plan of the Azara, where all the Amot of the Azara are all 6 Tvachim, to come along and say that the 32 Amot matched by the Mizbeach are differentiated Amot doesn't make so much sense in that context. And therefore, it must be that they're speaking about 32 real Amot. And if that's the case, this explanation is untenable, because you have a deficit in the length of the Azara if you say that it's really 31 Amot by 31 Amot instead of 32 by 32 Amot. Ella, here is the solution to the problem. Cheka Ama Begova Ama Rochav Knisa V'la Svata Saviv V'lo Shnahachi V'lo Shnahachi. It doesn't matter which way you go. So what the Gemara does now in the solution, it says maybe it's a mix of both. Who says that they all have to be consistently talking either, speaking about either the height or speaking about the depth? Maybe one of them is speaking about height and one of them is speaking about depth. And it would make a lot of sense since the word that's used over here is a different word. Cheika ama sounds like it's the structural part of it, the yisod. Rochav sounds like you're speaking about the depth. So that's exactly what the Gemara says now. When it comes to the yisod, the ama that was 5 tvachim was the height of the yisod, not the depth of the yisod. When it comes to the soveiv, it's not the height of the soveiv, but the depth of the soveiv that is 5 tvachim. Now, when it comes to the keren, Rashi at least indicates that as far as the height of the keren is concerned, that is 5 tvachim high. And then the Gemara says we're indifferent as to the depth of the keren. The depth of the keren can either be 5 or 6 tvachim. Why is that? Mizbeach kamehavi. Based on our new calculation, what is the height of the Mizbeach? Chamishim v'tamya. It's 58 tfachim. The reason for that is we know that it's 10 amot high. 8 amot of that height are 6 tfachim, which is 48. The Karen is 5 tfachim, and the Yisod is 5 tfachim high. That adds another 10 tfachim. 58 tfachim. Pali the Mizbeach kamahave. Where's the midpoint of Mizbeach when you're dealing with that 58? That is 29. Esrim v'tish'ah. That's 29 tvachim would be the midpoint of the Mizbeach. Mikarnot ad soveiv kamahavu. How many tvachim are there from the top of the keren to the soveiv? Remember that the area is 4 amot, but it's comprised of 3 amot that are 6 tvachim, which is 18, and 1 amah that is 5 tvachim, which makes it 23 tvachim in height. So as the Gemara says, esrim v'tlata. Kama batzir, how much do you have left after you take off 29 from 23? The Palgei de Mizbeach, then we come back to the Palgei de Mizbeach, how much is left to the midpoint of the Mizbeach? Shita, 6 tvachim. That works out exactly what we want. Vitznan, imasala mat miraglava filo ama achat, ksheira. Then it works well. Dekanami, that makes sense. Dikhtiv chekama, v'ma rochav. It uses different terminology to describe what the yisod is and what the soveiv is. It doesn't say they're the same thing. It says one is about chek and one is about rochav, implying that there are different dimensions that they're speaking about. Shmamina, that the height of the yisod was 5, but the indentation was 6. The amasoveiv, the height of it was 6, but the indentation is 5. Now, what does that mean for the entirety of the Mizbeach? If you think about before, when we discussed the Mizbeach, we said the problem was saying that it was all about the knisa, is you have the knisa of the yisod, you have the knisa of the soveiv, and you have the knisa of the keren. If you add up those three locations, then each one of them contributed 2 extra tvachim. 3 times 2 is 6 tvachim. You ended up with an extra amah. That extra amah then caused you a problem. We solve the problem by saying that's not an issue anymore. Because the knisa of the yisod is a regular ama. So there's no subtraction for the yisod. The soveid's knisa is 5 tvachim. That means now you have an extra 2 tvachim floating around. So the part that's on top of the soveid, which is the 28 by 28 block, is really not 28 by 28. It's 28 and 2 tvachim by 28 and 2 tvachim. We don't mention it. Rounding error. It's less than an ama. You get up to the keren. The keren, the Gemara says, you can decide what you want to do. It can either be 5 in or 6 in. If it's 6 in, then that's it. The excess for the entire Mizbech is 2 tvachim. It's in a rounding error. On the other hand, if you believe that the keren is 5 tvachim, you've now added another 2 tvachim of excess. That means by the time you get inside of the karnot, you have an area that is 26 by 26, but not really 26 by 26, 26 and 4 tvachim by 26 and 4 tvachim. But that ends it there. Again, you haven't reached a full amah. And therefore, when you put in the makom raglei akonim, the center maracha is 24 and 4 tvachim by 24 and 4 tvachim. So then it's less than a amah, and then we say you don't mention it. But as the Sfat Emet points out, you showed me that the pasuk is dak. When it comes to the pasuk, it's exact. And the pasuk says 24 by 24. It's interesting, again, that in the conclusion, the Gemara does say there's a rounding error, but the rounding error is small enough that we don't worry about it. But there is a rounding error, despite the fact that Gemara earlier said that it has to be exact when it comes to the pasuk. The Rambam has a slightly different version of this, and that is that he believes the amay is sowed is 5 up and 5 in. Both of them. It has both 5 up and 5 in, and the soveib only has 5 in, and then by the keren, it's 5 up, but 6 in. And he solves the problem by saying that the sod and the soveid contribute to the extra 4 tvachim. The keren is 6 tvachim in, and therefore you only have 4 tvachim as well. So instead of leaving the sod a regular 6 tvachim, I'm saying the keren could be anything, he says that the ama is both 5 up and 5 in. Because there it doesn't specify a direction. As opposed to the soveid where it specifies rochav, it's only the rochav. As opposed to the sod which has both. And that's how he describes it. The way that the Rashi is describing it is, the soveiv has rochav, therefore the yisod has height. Rama says, no, the soveiv has rochav, therefore the yisod has both, rochav and in, and therefore he locks in the keren to say that the keren is only 6 tvachim in depth, because that way you only have a deficit of 4 tvachim, the same way that Rashi gets to it by simply saying that only the soveiv and maybe the keren have those 5 tvachim. So that gets you to the solution to the problem. We're going to stop here. 7 lines down on the top of Tzarichet Amud Aleph.